God touches lives, and He touches each individual life in a special way. And the reason He does that is because you, as an individual, are special to God. You have a special purpose for Him. So many have said, well, I don't understand what my purpose is. You know, you may go through a whole life and in your mind not recognize your purpose, but other people do. Hear me now. Your purpose is a gift to you from God for everyone else to enjoy through you. A smile, a hug, a pat on the back, a correcting voice out of love, understanding. Fathers always have, you know, get into it, and they're really after their, especially the boys, really after the sons. And I've looked at that over the years, and the reason is they just like daddy. That's how they understand them. Mamas do the same thing with the girls. And then I listened to her all the time. I did all that counseling. I was thinking, okay, wonder where she got that. It's obvious. And that's okay, folks. That's the individual you wanting to express your love to the individual child. And that individual child that you have sown that foundation under will take that individuality or individualism that they have out into a lost and dying world. And they will be a picture, a portrait of how they were raised. So therefore, how do we raise them? You raise them right. When they are old, they will not turn back from it. The blessings, the joy of life itself. As we go through the journey this year, the journeys back to the cross, we're breaking down each journey. Oh, there's a lot of journey. You know, sometimes each one of these that I preach on Sunday morning, you may have three, four, five of them in that same one journey that you're going to. This morning, I wanted to just look at the word journey. Word, W-O-R-D, the word. And we need to understand that the word in Scripture, when you see that, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus was called the Word. When you get back into the Old Testament era, will you see Christ visibly walking or talking, such as to Abraham? Yes, you will, before He was born of Mary, before the incarnation. Jesus has always been the Word. Look at the Scripture. The Word says. When you see that, Jesus says. You got me? Jesus says. So therefore, in the beginning was the Word of life. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. Jesus is the creation of life. Now, well, how are you separating then? I'm not separating. I'm telling you that God Almighty is spirit. Nobody could come into the presence of God and live if you're in human form. So therefore, God, wanting us to be able to relate to Him, made sure that He could relate humanly. Therefore, the plan had been set before time began that God would come to earth through a virgin birth. God would become incarnate. We would know Him as the Word or His Son. We call Him Jesus. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's who He is. So God set the plan in motion before time began There was nothing that surprises God in the beginning, nor will there ever be. You cannot do anything that surprises God. Well, but God was surprised about that. No, he wasn't. God knows human nature. Not only that, the scripture tells us that God knows your path. God knows the wrong path that you're going to take. Well, now, preacher, God doesn't know everything, yet he does. Amen. That's the problem with folks today. They want to put a limit on our Creator. You don't limit God. There is no limit to God. God said, I want to relate to you. So therefore, I will relate to you with skin. And his name will be the Word. His name will be Jesus. He will tell you and show you. See, Jesus can hug you and you can feel him. God hugs you spiritually. But if you're not in the spiritual relationship, you don't feel the hug. You will just say to yourself, you know, there was something different about that day, about that time, about that situation. I just sort of felt strange. That strange feeling is love that we reject so often. For God so loved that he gave. So therefore, the expression of love is in our giving. And God said, I want you to take that journey, get back to the cross, and do that with the word of life. Your life was given to you by my word. God speaks and it exists. God has loved us so much that he created all that exists just for us. That's a lot of love. That's bigger than a man cave. That's bigger than your house. That's bigger than all you can imagine. That's God's love. Listen, John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus. Got me? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Word was God. There's no separating them. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Told you that. The Word breathed life unto each of us. And that life was the light of men. Every time Jesus touches us, we light up. We will smile. We'll feel that touch. When you're one of his children, you long for that touch. And then you tell yourself, why don't I get to the cross? Meaning, why don't I get back to Jesus? No, I don't have to go to that physical cross. That cross that I'm talking about happens to be a cross where Jesus gave his life for me. It's where he looked at the heart of all his creation to see what would come. And out of that look, he saw you and me. And he knew that he had to touch our life in a special way, a way that we would continue throughout our life to go to and fro doing life and get back to the cross where we began as a Christian. For at that cross is the heart of God. At that cross is the Word of God. You want to hear the voice? Hear the voice. Listen for his cry for you. Listen for his prayer on your behalf, your individual behalf. I pray for this one, Father. He knows your name, Christian, and his voice repeats your name continually. That name is in the heart of our Savior. The Word of God has come. And he said, I want you to continue to come. Now here's the reason I want you, Word. You as an individual, look at me. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then you become the vehicle that's going to present his word to the world. You see, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is standing right beside me and sitting right beside you. Jesus is everywhere. And he says, here's the problem. I've given you the word, so therefore you are to take the word of love. I'll tell you what you're supposed to take here in a moment. But he said, I want you to go. And I want you to tell the world something. Why? Listen to why. Verse 5. The light, this is Jesus, shines in the darkness. But the darkness has not understood it. Here's Jesus shining in the darkness. Here's the world saying, how do we get a little light in our life? Here's Jesus shining, but the world does not want to recognize him. They do not want to receive that light. They reject the power of ultimate love. I don't know why. Have you ever tried to figure out yourself? Why do I do what I do? Why do I keep repeating the dumb things that I have done in my life? Why do I keep doing them when I know that I shouldn't be doing them and it doesn't bring glory to God or to me or to anyone else? That's called life. Boy, life is hard, isn't it? But can you imagine how hard it is for people that are in darkness? The light has come. Jesus isn't hid. Jesus is not hiding. Jesus didn't hide when they came for him to put him on the cross. Jesus is not afraid. Jesus is full of love for you and for me. But what he's telling us is this. I love the ones out there, Larry, that are blinded by the world. You got to go out and tell them. That's our job, every Christian. That's your ministry. You tell them. Don't you think that the door won't open for you to have an opportunity to witness that way? That's the word journey of getting there to the word of life. I have eternal life, can't be taken away. I have eternal peace, you can't be taking that away from me. I'm going to be preaching on peace pretty soon. A lot of Christians just are not at peace. And it's time we wake up and accept that peace that God gives us. In the moment is the word of love. In the beginning, the word of life. In the moment. And the reason I decided to use in the moment, it means in the moment of time. In your present time. But in the moment of your generation is the word. And that word that God gives us is the word of love. He says, now listen, you're never going to make it through hatred and bitterness. That's never going to cure anything in your life or in the life of those that you love. Because you love, because I first loved you. So don't you understand that presenting love that I can give you to give to the world, that will bring the peace. To love your fellow man. Lord, I have a hard time loving me sometimes. You ever look at that in your own life? You see, if you don't like you, you're not going to like anybody else. Now, you get in front of that mirror, and I want you to get there, and I want you to buckle up, and I want you to smile, and you just point that finger and say, I love you. Now, you probably are not going to believe it when you do that. But you need to understand, because God first loved you, you are loved, and he has empowered you with that love. Use that love to change the world. John 15, verses 9 through 13. As the Father has loved me, now this is Jesus speaking, so have I loved you. He loves me just like the Father, God, loves him. Now, remain in my love. Don't go off a whoring into the world. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, here it is, and people keep going back and saying, yeah, I know, he's talking about go obey my commandments, going back to the Ten Commandments, going back to the... No! That is not what he's talking about. Listen to what he said. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then verse 12, he tells us what his command is. Here it is. Jesus is saying it himself. My command is this. That's what he says. My command is this. This is what he's talking about. Love each other as I have loved you. Out of the Old Testament, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, I'm changing that. I'm upping it. Now I want you to love as I have loved you. Because a lot of people don't love themselves. I told you that. My love must supersede me. The love that you have been given by God is a love of power, a love of compassion, a love of understanding. We get so caught up in how smart, how intellectual we are, how brilliant we are. I got news for you, folks. Excuse my Kentucky. I don't even know what you'd call it from where I grew up. But no, you ain't. You don't have it all. You don't have all the answers. All the answers to life and all its problems are summed up into the word love. Love as God has loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. You know, Jesus loves me when I'm right, and he loves me when I'm wrong. Do you know that Jesus never, ever told me to clean my act up? You listen to me. Jesus loved me so much that he convicted me that I was a sinner. But I've told you this before. I can never remember not believing in Christ. I can never remember a time in my life when I didn't believe or didn't even talk to him as a kid, even 5 or 6 years old when my dad died. But I had not went forward. I had never publicly made that profession of faith. But I knew then it is his word that convicts me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. Tell them. And as that young 8-year-old boy, I walked down that aisle and I made it public. I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. And I want to be baptized and become a member of this church. That's what I said as an 8-year-old boy. Where'd that come from? Because it gets spooky when you get up here looking at people's faces. And if you're an 8-year-old, you're terrified. But I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I said it. And the Lord then took me the rest of the way. How? He loves me. He loved me in combat. He loved me in my stupidity. He loved me in the ditches of life. He loved me when I was wrong. He loves me when I'm right. I'm his child. I belong to him. He may correct me. He may chastise me. But all of it is done because he loves me. And he wants me to have the best in his kingdom. And the best I can have in his kingdom is his love. I got it. I got it. I got his love. Now, Lord, what you want me to do with it? Give it away, Larry. You know when you got saved, how excited you were and how that feeling inside of you was, and to be baptized and all, and that excitement of now I'm a Christian. And then I would listen to older Christians say, well, I won't last long. It'll wear off. And I'm thinking, what a way to, you know, help them out here. Yeah. Oh, they're excited now, but I was excited too when I got saved. Well, I got news for you, folks. I'm still excited. Yeah. I'm excited to the point that just because he saved me, just to know that I am loved, to be loved by my Creator, and I can't even die from these cancers or anything else until God says so. That's up to him, not these things. I got news for you. The day that I do leave this earth, I'll have a smile on my face because I'm loved. I'm loved by you all, but I'm loved by the very one that's sending the angels to carry me into his presence. That's a ride. But in the meantime, I got work to do. I don't have time to deal with that stuff. I got work to do. I got preaching to do. I got loving to do. I have that teaching in me. I've got to do it. Why? I love you all. I care. I care what goes on with you individually. I have a Savior who loves us so much. But he says, the world, even though I'm shining in this darkness, they're rejecting or refusing to even look at me. In the ending, you've got the beginning, you got the moment of time in which you're living, but the end is coming. The end is coming. People say, they've been saying that forever. Well, I got news for you. Your end's coming. I mean, you may beat me in the grave or in heaven. He ain't going to the grave. But I got news for you. All of us are held together with love. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves me. Good song to sing, Brother Randy. And the ending will be the word of judgment. That's why. That's why you and I got to get about our Father's business. The world isn't listening. Well, it seems like God has allowed a wake-up call to come to the United States of America. A wake-up call. You better wake up, America. You better pay attention. You know what the problem is? Not enough love. Not enough concern. Not enough caring about our fellow man. Too busy hating. Too busy trying to get something for nothing. Too busy trying to change God's way of life. God's not going to change. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves us. Listen to the scripture. Revelation 19, verses 13 through 16. Jesus is coming. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Oh, there's power in the blood. Do you hear me? There's power in the blood. Dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. I told you all, the Word of God. That's his name. That's Jesus. The armies of heaven were following him. Now when the world sees that, there will be an uh-oh time. The heavens were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth, that's the word, you hear me, those who reject the word will die by the very word they rejected. The word, this sword that you're going to hear about, this sword is the Word of God. This is Jesus. You and I do not fight in that last battle. We do not. It is the Word of God that conquers. We are with him. But we don't do the battle. It's always been the Word. It will always be the Word. So therefore, why don't we focus on the Word? Listen well. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. Old English will say sharp two-edged sword. A sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He, this is the millennial period, he will rule them with an iron scepter. Are you all familiar with the scepters, the short stick, about yay big, that the kings and those that were tough and all of this carried? They carried them. In the Marine Corps, we call them swagger sticks because we thought we were tough. This is God's scepter, meaning I'm coming. I have the iron scepter. I have the power. And at this point, I am going to deal out judgment. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. No, I do not want to be the recipient of the wrath of God Almighty. You don't either. As a matter of fact, in this human condition, whether that wrath was directed at us or not, you don't want to be around it, for you cannot handle that wrath. On his robe, woo, he's wearing a robe, Brother Randy, and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming, and he's saying, it's over. The old preachers of the old days used to say, you have sinned away your day of grace. We're living in the time period of grace. Be thankful. We're living in the time period of grace. But God says that he will not strive with man forever. There's another period coming when the grace period ends. He has offered all who will ever come or hear his word salvation, eternal life, eternal peace in your heart. Whoever will, let them come. But do they come? Do they come? How can you reject such love? But we do. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the Word. What love? Don't reject his love. Come on, folks. Don't reject his love. Accept his peace. He offers us in this time of grace everything. Do you hear me? He offers us everything good in his time of grace. And he said, it's already paid for. Won't you come? Why do we wait? Please call me anytime. I will meet with you. I will talk with you. I will pray with you. But the time has come. Grace is given. Peace that surpasses all understanding is here. All we need to do is say, yes, Lord. Well, how can I do that? Let me tell you something. You can't do it unless you're under conviction. That's that something that's stirring on the inside of you. It's stirring and you think, I don't like it feeling. And then when you move for Christ, you say, man, I love that feeling. That's Jesus touching your heart. You know why he's touching you? Because he loves you. Just like you are. You don't have to change a thing. And don't any of the rest of you Christians start telling anybody how to change. You got your hands full with you. You let the Lord do it. When you got Jesus, in the day of grace in which we're living, folks, you can't do anything but love. Share the love. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for blessings, the joy of salvation, for your great love. Touch each of us now, dear Heavenly Father, as we go about this world, into the businesses, into the pathway that you're leading us. And Father, give us courage and strength to continue. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, I ask your blessing now. Amen.